I'm going to get this songbook over here.
Something I want to talk about in this songbook.
Is there anything in that songbook that makes you rejoice? Yeah. I ask, good morning. How is everybody? I'm so much at home here, I just feel like I don't even have to say hello. It's good to be with you, and I have a lot of fond memories and love this church and each and every one of you. There's history there, and it makes me rejoice when I see your face. And I'm always pretty comfortable when I come before the Lord's people when I'm leading the singing, because I've done that since I was 8 years old, and I kind of have I got this, I can do this, you know. So I have no fear, but coming before the Lord's people trying to proclaim the goodness of his grace, it's a scary thing. You know, Elder Don Richards, who's the pastor at Midland Church, he put out a letter talking about three deacons that go to the Midland Church. Myself was one of them, Brother Ross and Brother Joe McCarty, and talked about how the church has been using them, letting them go into the stand, and they felt like it was time that if any churches wanted them to come and speak, that give us a call. And that just scared me to death. I mean, here's another level. I have stood at Midland Church and talked to my friends and family there, and it's not as scary as it's been since Brother Don wrote that letter. I said, Elder Don, what are you doing to me? You know, I said, I'm an old man. I'll be 68 years old my next birthday. I like to lead the singing. I'm a deacon here at Midland. I love the Lord's people. Don't let me go out there and mess it all up, you know. He said, well, you just go and Lord, hope the Lord will be with you and do the best you can. And I'm going to tell you, since that letter came out, I can count on this hand, one hand, how many times I've stood before the Lord's people over the last couple of months. And I can tell you where they were. One was at Canyon at their meeting, and at Borger, and it was right here at the West Texas Fellowship, and last Sunday over in Brownfield. I get Brownfield and Brownwood confused. Do y'all ever do that? It doesn't make any sense because it's a brown field. It's brown in West Texas. Brownwood, they got a lake there. It's beautiful, so it should be hard to confuse. But that's how many times I've stood up and tried to talk to the Lord's people, and I ask that you continue to pray this morning that the Lord will bless not only me, but bless you. As I stood at Brownfield, that's correct, right, Brownfield, last week, I felt like my words were just stuttering, and my thoughts were not clear, and I didn't feel like the Lord was blessing me like I've seen him bless ministers. And we got through with the service, and Brother J.C. Dorsett, yes, stood up, and we was going to sing the last song, and he turned to me, and I was sitting over there, and he said, Brother Gary, I want you to know something. Well, he called me Brother Barrington. Now, this gentleman's up in his years, in the 80s. He said, you taught me something today I never really thought about. And I said, oh, my goodness. And I said, I need to talk to him, find out what it was that I taught him, because my mind was blank. I couldn't imagine what it was that moved him in that way. And I got to think about that driving home. You know, it was not Brother Gary. It was the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, spoke to that brother through my words, through my efforts. And, you know, we sang the song, Won't It Be Wonderful There? And what did I ask you? You believe that? You think it'll be wonderful there? And then what do we do? We sing When We All Get to Heaven. What a joy that will be. You believe that too? Well, that's why I got the songbook. I wanted to look at some words in that. You know how sometimes you'll sing a song and you sing it and you sing it and you sing it and you sing it and you know it by almost by heart and by memory, and sometimes you don't think about what you're singing. I'm guilty of that, and I'm sorry if I get a little bit emotional, my sinuses will just start running like crazy, so y'all bear with me. And I want to point this out. Let's see. I asked this question at Borger. If there's two glasses of water here, that means there might be another speaker. So which one does the first speaker grab? You know, is there a rule, Brother Kenny? I'm going to take this one. Y'all help me out here. Now, if I go for the left one, y'all tell me, hold on. Well, this morning, as we were singing When We All Get to Heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. And we sang the third verse, and it just hit me, just smacked me up right against the head. Everybody look at the third verse. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Do you ever think about that? We're talking about how wondrous and rejoicing it's going to be when we get to heaven. How do we know? Why do we feel that? Because the Spirit of the Lord has told you and in your heart that you're one of His children. Is that correct? And you know, you feel that, and you understand that we're going to all get to heaven based on the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and resurrected to take care of some of our sins. There you thank you, brother. I paused a little bit there. All of our sins, not just part of them. So if He died for all of our sins, are any of our sins worse than the other ones, you know? Is there a sin that He didn't die for? No. Let us then be true and faithful. Because we know this and we understand this and we know that the Lord has done what He's done, we need to stand up. We need to be true and faithful. Trusting, serving every day. Do you trust in the Lord every day? Do you serve the Lord every day? Think about it. Now, I'm going to admit something to you. If what I do is considered preaching, as he said, I don't think that I preach yet. I don't know that the Lord has put that there. But as I speak to you, and if I say something, do you trust and do you serve every day? I'm saying, do I? Does Brother Gary trust? Do I serve every day? And I look at myself, and I know my struggles, and I know that y'all probably don't struggle like I do, but it's a daily struggle. Isn't that right, Jesse? You laughing. It's a daily struggle to what? To trust in the Lord every day? To serve every day? How do you serve the Lord? Think about that. Every day. Now, I know you get up and come to church on Sunday morning because here you are, and I rejoice in that. I think it's a wonderful thing when the Lord's people come out and publicly acknowledge and serve His grand and glorious name, on Sunday. How does it go for you on Monday? Do you think about Him on Monday as much as you do on Sunday? Are you trusting His guidance and His will? Are you like me? You know, it kind of starts slipping away. And I catch myself doing things, you know, I said, I'm glad I wasn't in front of the Lord at church on Sunday. And then I was telling myself, well, silly. I started to say stupid, but I shouldn't call myself stupid. Just because you're not inside the doors of the church building, the meeting house, and among the Lord's people, doesn't mean the Lord's not here with you now. He sees you every day, your every thought, your every word, your every deed. He knows every word before you say it. That's a scary thing. The Lord knows my every thought and my every deed, and he knows the struggles that I have. If I told you the struggles I have from day to day, I doubt you would be sitting there with Brother Gary trying to preach to you. There would have been somebody else. He said, well, we don't need him because we found out that Brother Gary is really a sinner. He has trouble. He has trouble in his life. And we're a little better than him, and we don't want him around us. No, I don't believe that, you know. Do you feel yourself to be a sinner this morning? You do? Do you? That's good. You're saved. That is so sweet, sister. Thank you so much for that. What are you saved from, sweetheart? You have freedom, don't you? We have liberty. You're saved from the persecution. You're saved from this untoward generation, just like Peter told them at the day of Pentecost. There was a bunch of Jews all gathered together. And I haven't even got to what I've got on my mind this morning, but I'm just trying to fellowship with you a little bit and love you as much as I do. But Peter told the Jews, said, look, y'all did this. You've crucified the Son of God. And as he was preaching to them, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you. I guess all that was pricked in their heart, you know. In the name of Jesus, for the remissions of sins. Now I left something out, didn't I? Anybody know what I left out? Let's try it again. Let's just turn to it. You got your Bible? Book of Acts, second chapter. Over about the 38th verse. I left a word out. Let's see if you can identify with me what word I left out. It's a very important word. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the word I didn't say a while ago. And I did that on purpose, because if you leave that word out, this scripture has a whole different meaning. For the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people try to tell you, well, see, look, you repent, you be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that's pretty much the way they say it, and you'll receive the remissions of sin. Look at this scripture, Gary, and I get in conversations with them a lot, and I enjoy having scriptural discussions with somebody that I kind of feel like they have the love of the Lord in their heart. They just don't have the same light. You know them, don't you? And I'll ask them, what was his name? What was God's son's name? And they said, it was Jesus. The angel appeared to Joseph, told him not to be upset about Mary being with child, because what's in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you shall call his name Jesus. So I was right when I stopped at Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. You know, they call us hard shells. That doesn't mean that we've got turtle shells on us. I believe that means we're hard on the shells. When the Bible says shell, it's said and done. He shall save his people from his sins. You'll call his name Jesus. That's his name, Jesus. He shall save his people from sin, their sins. And his title was the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. I think in Hebrews, I'm not a Hebrewologist nor a Greekologist, okay? So I'm not going to pretend that I can read the Bible in the Greek or the Hebrew. I'm very young in my studies. I'm very young in my searching the scriptures and trying to talk to the Lord's people. So as y'all see me up here, I'm just like your seventh grade grandson that's trying to give a speech at school. That's how I feel. And I feel like I'm talking to the Lord's people who know a whole lot more about this than I do. But we come together to fellowship, sing praises to his name, and honor his name. So help me. Help me. And see, I just lost everything where I was. The anointed one. I talk about not being a Greekologist or a Hebrewologist. The anointed one. The Messiah. The word Messiah and what's the other word I'm looking for? Christ means the anointed one. Let's read this scripture again. Instead of saying the word Christ, let's say the anointed one, because that's what Christ is, right? He's the Messiah, the Redeemer. Let's read it that way, and let's read the verse and see how much sense it makes, okay? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, for the remissions of sins. Is that right? He was anointed for the remission of sins. Your repentance does not remit your sins. Your repentance doesn't cover your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now he tells us a little more, these people that are pricked in the hearts. He knows something about them now. The Holy Spirit has gone into their heart and given them a light, and they were sorrowful. What shall we do? We did this. We crucified Christ. We're sorry for that. He says, well, because, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter knew that the Lord in heaven had called these people because they had godly sorrow. How do you get godly sorrow? The Spirit of God comes in you and pricks you in your heart. Have you ever been sorry for your sins? Anybody here not sorry for their sins? You know, we're all together. You're sorry for your sins. Brothers and sisters, that's evidence. Just like Peter knew that these people were the children of God. That's evidence that you're a child of God. Now, are you going to live a perfect life? No. Are you going to do everything right? Are you ever going to be fearful that maybe you're not a child of God? Do you ever worry about that? There's a song that talks about that. Being afraid to die because I don't know that I am a child of God. If you're fearful about your salvation, if you're fearful that the Lord is not going to take you home, take peace with that. That's evidence that you're his. You wouldn't feel that way if you weren't his child. You wouldn't be worried about it. You'd be out here like some of them are saying, this old religious stuff is poo-poo, you know? I don't have to do this. I'm just good like I am. I'm not worried about it. Let's just go on live. What time does the football game start? Let's go see it, you know? You're living a life of Riley. But if you go from day to day and you have that comes over you, or maybe you think some thoughts, or you sin a particular sin. Now remember, I'm talking to me. Y'all can apply this to yourselves any way you want to. If I'm preaching at all, it's to me, because I know how low I am and what problems I have. All of a sudden I think, why did I say that? Why did I do that? What is wrong with me? And I get pretty sorry and upset about my actions. Sometimes to the point that it's just more than I can bear. And I say, Lord, why? Why do I act this way? Well, because nature, we all descended from Adam. And our nature, our fleshly nature, is not to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. Our nature is sin. We're inclined to do those things. The last couple of days, what I've had on my mind, and you know, it's one thing I'm really struggling with is how do these ministers come up with such a great subject, and they'll lay it out in the beginning, and here's what we're going to talk about, and here's where we're going to get, and I'm going to sum it up at the end, you know? And I said, how does this happen? I don't understand. So, and I could be wrong, so I said, well, maybe I need to have some kind of a subject, an outline, or a piece of paper, you know, written the stuff written down. Y'all see that piece of paper? Anything written there? It's blank, isn't it? And that's how I felt as I got up from Brother Kenny here and walked up here, and he turned to me, and I asked, I said, Brother, continue to pray for me. I need the prayers of those I love, as we sang. See, now I just sinned, you know, because on the other side I've got stuff written down. But I'm still blank. But if I had to put a title to what I'm thinking about or what's been on my mind for the last 30 minutes, I guess, is fruit. Fruit. We know what fruit is, don't we? We know about trees that bear fruit. And we were talking, what were we talking about? Pineapples? Pineapples are fruit. I didn't really know till Jesse told me a while ago. Pineapples grow on a bush. I had in my mind that pineapples was up in the tree like a coconut, you know. But that's all fruit. It's the fruit of these trees, of these plants. Well, Gary, why are you talking about fruit? Because we've been given fruit from our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. When He placed His love in our heart, we were given the ability to bear fruit. Let's go to Galatians. You all know this, and it's what I love about preaching to the Lord's people. There's a lot of things I love about it, but I know if I mess it up or get it wrong or kind of stumble somewhere, you just in your mind, you fix it, you know. And okay, Brother Gary, we love you. We know you're a seventh grader trying to make a speech, so I appreciate that, and I thank you for your help and your understanding. The 22nd verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians. Here we're going to be told, it's going to be explained to us about what the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are pretty easy to understand, aren't they? You all have the capability to love. You know what joy is? Happiness, joy, peace, long suffering. Well, that fruit's a little, you got to think about that just a little bit. But I consider long suffering is having patience in spite of the trouble that you're in spite of the persecution, in spite of the problems of the world or what your children did to you or your friends, you're long-suffering. Aren't you thankful that our Lord and Savior is long-suffering with us? He was long-suffering for Sodom and Gomorrah for a long time. He had patience. I like to think about long-suffering as having a long fuse. You know, Gentleness. Don't have to tell you mothers what gentleness is. That you, if you cuddle your child, you're gentle with them. And you fathers too. And I'm thankful that we're recognizing our fathers today. And I appreciate what you said a while ago about our Father in heaven. And it kind of goes along with what I'm saying as we go through the week. How much do we honor our Father during the week? I don't do a great job of it. Now, close to Wednesday night, I get to thinking, well, we're going to have singing at Midland, and I need to get my mind back in church mode. I need to get my mind back in worshiping the Savior. That's sad. We need to continually, every day, worshiping our Lord and Savior and having Him in our mind, and everything that we do should be our number one priority. After gentleness, Scripture says goodness. When we know what that is. Faith. What is faith? A lot of people like to say, well, that's belief. I guess in Hebrews it said, now faith is the evidence of things. No, faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we've got Scripture that gives, see, I should have that ready, but I didn't. Meekness. Now there's a word that you can, does that mean weakness? No, sir, thank you, brother. He shook a big no. Thank you. I appreciate that. Meekness is not weakness. I like thinking about meekness as humility, the ability to be patient, modest, not a know-it-all. What's that fancy word for that? Narcissistic. And the last two, no, the last one is temperance. Temperance. Well, you might think, well, I'm not going to blow my top. I'm not going to have a temper. Temperance, back they had the temperance movement a long time ago that people couldn't drink alcohol. They had to completely cut it out. Temperance to me is moderation, self-restraint, keeping myself from sin is temperance. And the last of the in the Scripture, against these things, against such, there's no law against these things. There's no law against loving and having joy and peace. But if you take that first word that the Apostle Paul gave to the Galatians, the first one he said was love. You take love out and the rest of them will go to waste. Because without love, you're not going to have joy in your life. You're not going to be temperate. You're not going to be long-suffering. You're not going to be gentle if you don't have love for your fellow man. Now, you can love your family, love your children. That's easy. But loving your neighbor, loving your enemies, loving your boss. How many of you love your boss, That's a fruit of the Spirit of our Heavenly Father that's been given to you. Let's look over at the 51st Psalm. And again, continue to pray. As I stumble and stutter around, we can sing a song and I feel a whole lot more comfortable. But anyway, if you got your Bibles, let's look at the 51st Psalm. And I can't read a psalm without thinking about my father, Elder J.E. Barrington. Some people called him the psalmist preacher. He didn't preach a sermon unless something came from psalms. So as I've been trying to be more diligent about studying the word of the Lord, I said, well, you know, I need to read over in Psalms. For some reason, you know, my father got a lot of comfort out of the Psalms. And I'm ashamed that I had to use the word studying God's word more diligently. What have I been doing for the past 66 years? I've gone to church, I've paid attention, but have I studied the word of the Lord in the way that I should? Each and every one of us, that's our responsibility, to study the word of the Lord. It's our jobs to be sure that our ministers and pastors are preaching the truth. They're supposed to study to show themselves approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the responsibility of the ministry. I believe Paul told Timothy that. And something interesting to me, I asked an elder the other day, I said, was Timothy already preaching the word to churches? Yes, he was. He was already preaching. And Paul came along with a little admonition now. I said, now, Timothy, you need to study. You need to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Maybe Timothy was a seventh grade student just like me, stumbling around. And Paul said, look, dig in there. And I took that as admonition to me. Just because I'm standing before you now doesn't mean I can rightly divide all the words of truth. In fact, there's a lot of stuff in here that makes no sense to me. And I pray daily that the Lord will give me light on those subjects. And if he ever does, then maybe I can share that. But if he doesn't, I'm going to leave it alone. You know, if the Lord doesn't give it to me, I'm not going to go there. And I did something that Elder David Montgomery and his nephew, Daniel Montgomery, we were all at the Borger Church together, and we stayed at the Holiday Inn Express. We were sitting around, and I said, brethren, tell me, how do you keep your mind focused on a subject without going down different roads? And they both said at the same time, well, that's chasing rabbits, Brother Gary. Chasing rabbits. They said it's hard to do. Keep your mind focused on the words or where you are. You don't need to chase rabbits. So I'm going to stop chasing rabbits, and we're going to go to the Psalms. I mentioned my father loving the Psalms, and we're going to read the 51st Psalm. And let's see what this is a Psalm of David. David wrote most of the Psalms. You know who David is. What was his big accomplishment? He killed Goliath, right? Yeah, took that giant down. Later on, he was anointed as the king of Israel. How many electoral votes did he get? Did he make the popular vote? Did he win it, or was he elected by the Electoral College? No, he was anointed by the Lord on high. What? Yeah, the only vote that counted. Thank you, brother. Can you go with me next week when Brother Kenny's helping me out here quite a bit. And he called me last week and said, I was getting ready to go on vacation, but we decided we're going to wait till after church to go. I said, okay, well, I appreciate that. He said he wanted to hear me and make sure that I was speaking the truth. And that's his responsibility. Now, he didn't say that. He said he wanted to hear what I had to say. And of course, I said, okay, well, and he said he had a switch over there. It was this red light right here came on. It was my sign to sit down, you know. Well, it's here somewhere. David slayed Goliath. He was anointed as the king of Israel. Was anybody in Israel going to dispute that? No, here's David who defeated Goliath, who slayed the Philistines a whole lot more than Saul did. I think they all said, hallelujah, we have a king. But he got the vote that mattered, and that's that one. Let's read, and we're going to read quite a bit of this. But we know that David's life was full of conflict and controversy. He looked upon a woman on the rooftop, and he had her husband killed and had her brought to him. And can you say David was a sinner? Does anybody disagree? And did he know he was a sinner? Yes, he's going to tell us right here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Do you ever pray to the Lord, say, Lord, I've sinned. Take this away from me. Blot it out. I wish I'd never done that. Forgive me. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You're just, Lord. I'm a sinner, and whatever I've got coming to me, you're justified. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We come out of the womb sinning and telling lies. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but that's our nature. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. There's that word, joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit. You think David had been born of the Spirit of the Lord? Do you think David had the fruit? And every time I say that, I'm saying fruit, singular. All the fruits together made fruit. Now, is it wrong to say fruits? Well, they're multiple, it's plural. But I like to look at it as one fruit. Lost my thought. Here we go. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You ever ask the Lord that? Take my heart out, cleanse it, give me the right spirit. Help me, Lord. I don't like doing these things. I don't want to sin like this. Help me. And you know, if you ever get in that shape, if you ever get in that shape and you have the courage and the strength to say, okay, I'm stopping this. I'm not going to do this anymore. And you get through the first day, whatever it might be, whatever that sin or that temptation is, maybe watching certain movies on TV. You say, I'm not going to do that anymore. You go the first day and you don't watch that movie. My wife and I, about 3 years ago, we were watching a movie. What's the name of it? About some lawyers, you know. And it looked like it's going to be a real interesting movie. But they decided, the writers, that they should take the Lord's name in vain about every other breath. And I mean, it was offensive to me. Does it offend you whenever you hear people use that kind of language? It happened to me not long ago. I was sitting at the gathering table eating breakfast with a bunch of stuff, and this one guy got mad, and he started taking the name of the Lord in vain. Once, I said, okay, I'm going to sit here. Twice, he was mad about something. About the third time, I stood up, and I walked out of the room. I didn't say anything. I just removed myself from it. You know, sometimes that's what we have to do. Sin comes right up against you, starts spitting at you and getting on you. You can remove yourself from that. You can stand up and walk out the door. Well, they might think I'm a goody two-shoes. Well, I hope so. That's good. Let them think that. Eleventh verse, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He's pleading with the Lord, don't cast me away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I love you, Lord. I don't want to be cast out. I don't want to lose what I have. I don't want to lose. And what's the next verse? And this is where I'm going. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, I read that, and it was a long time before I actually really, it hit me that he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, not my salvation. Don't restore to me the joy of my salvation, but of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Do you have joy in your salvation? Sometimes when you stray, you go down, the joy is not so much there, is it? Ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of his salvation. The joy of Christ coming to this earth, living on this world for 30 some odd years, being persecuted and transgressed against and everything, but he took it all on for our benefit, went up Calvary Hill, was crucified, bowed his head down and said it was finished. What was finished? The job that he came to do. He gave himself. He took on our flesh and our sin, was buried, and just like the prophet said, just like was foretold, was three nights and 3 days in the grave. But that wasn't the end of it. On the third day, he arose. Or would that be the fourth day? He was in the three. Anyway, we're not going to worry about math. The fact is, he arose. They went to anoint his body, and he was gone. That's what we need to rejoice in. That's what gives us joy. That's what gives us happiness, to know that our Savior did that for us, for each and every one of us. And I can pretty much point at you and say, yeah, I'm talking about you because I love you all, and I see your love glowing. I see the Spirit of the Lord coming out of you. You're here this morning because you want to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, for the remissions of our sins and your sins. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I want to thank you for your kind attention. I hope that I haven't sounded too much like that seventh grader. I hope that maybe something, the Spirit of the Lord gave you something that came through my words. If it did, praise be to our God and Savior, because it's not of me. I love you all, and I hope to see you again soon. Thank you, brother.